Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the skies, I hear the roaring thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. There I shall bow in praise and adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Turn, if you will, to Joshua chapter 2. Wonderful book of Joshua as we think about conquest and victory and applications to our having victory in our lives. And chapter 2, they're getting ready to go to Jericho and for the walls to come a tumbling down, as we sing there. And so as they come, two of the spies to spy out Jericho, they're making their preparations to go and win it over. So in chapter 2 tonight, we're going to look at, first of all, the sending of the spies, and then the rehab of Rahab, and then salvation of a soul, and the witness of a woman, and then the honor of a harlot. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us as we look into it this evening, and as the Scripture says, to rightly divide the Word of truth. So I pray that you would help as we expound the Word of God, Lord, that it might be according to your will and your Word, and that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the spies get ready to go out, it tells us in verse 1, Joshua, remember, he has taken over because Moses has died and he's now the leader, and the son of Nun, he sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly. And so he sends them out, and the first thing we're going to see in sending out the spies is their concealment. They're going to go in, and they're going to go privately. Well, that kind of makes sense. They're spies, you know. You don't go in announcing that you're spies. It kind of defeats the purpose there. And so it says to spy secretly in verse 1. He said, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. And notice the very next verse. And it was told the king, behold, there came men in there to spy out the land. Well, they were supposed to go secretly. They were supposed to be spies. And all of a sudden, they have a plan, and they're going to go in secretly. But as soon as they go, their plan is not working out so well. But God's in control. And sometimes our lives are that way as well. We have a plan, and we just get started to carry it out, and it seems like already something is gone wrong with our plans there. And God knew before Joshua ever sent the two spies, he knew that the king was going to know what they were doing. And so nothing ever takes God by surprise. And so it says in verse 2, it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men and hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Now, I don't know how they know that the spies are there, but the spies are there, and she hid the spies, and as they're going in, and here are these men going into the house of a harlot. So their thinking was, no doubt, that, you know, there's going to be obviously a lot of men going in and out of the house anyway, and so probably it would not be noticed, but it was. Their plan didn't go like they thought it would. And so in verse 3, the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they're come to search out our country. And the woman took the two men in verse 4 and hid them. And she said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist or knew not whence they were. Now that was a lie, wasn't it? She knew where they were. So let's read on and see what happens. Verse 5, and it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. I don't know where they went. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof there. And so she hides these spies, and she lies about it, and she's a saved woman. And when she got saved, we don't really know, but from the story, we know she was saved. I kind of think that she had already come to know the Lord before the spies got there for two reasons. One, later she talks about God being Jehovah, the Lord, and she uses his name Jehovah. But also here in verse 6, where it talks about the stalks of flax, which were used to make linen. And she has those, and she's laid them up on the top of the house. So very likely her profession has already changed at this point there. And that might have been part of the reason why it was known that the men were there, because men hadn't been coming there as much anymore. Issue had been saved at that time, and now they're coming. And I think that's my own personal opinion. We can't find that in the scripture there. But she hid them and she lied about it. And not being a believer long, the word saved, we usually use that in New Testament theology. But if I say that, we understand delivered, saved, being a believer there, that she knew the Lord. She may not have been saved long. And coming from a pagan background, they wouldn't have thought anything about lying. And maybe even she thought about it and knew she shouldn't be doing it, but she has this option, you know, I've either lie or tell the truth. And if I tell the truth, I'm going to be an accomplice to murder, because these people are coming in to kill these two spies, and a tough choice to make. And so we know lying is not right, and God never condones it. He records it for us. And so I don't want to be too hard on her about the lying part there. And so she hides them. And verse 7, the men pursued after them in the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof. And so here they were. Her house was against the wall that was there to protect the city. And her house was right up against the wall. And it was often done where they would have places to sleep on the roof or roof, and there she was doing that, and she's having this conversation now with the spies, and she says to them, I'll read and make a few comments, and we'll come back and look at some of these verses in a minute. She said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard those things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you swear to me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that I have, that, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her in verse 14. And here they are having this conversation, and she's asking for mercy. She says, show kindness to me into my family. And that word that's translated kindness is a very common Hebrew word, and it's the word hesed, which is often translated loving kindness, the mercies of God. And she's asking for mercy whenever they come back. And she has shown mercy, and she says, give me a true token at verse 12. That word token means a sign. Oftentimes we hear it in the Bible and we read about signs and wonders and miracles. And so she's looking for some kind of miracle, some kind of sign, some kind of token that she will know that they're going to be delivered whenever Israelites come in and take over the land. And we'll look more at that token in just a little bit as we come back in a minute. But now let's look at their confidence. The men, we read it all the way down to verse 24. When they get back to Joshua, they say, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. And so from what they have witnessed there and what she has said, we know that the Lord your God has delivered the land to you. And they come back and they have great confidence. Notice in verse 14, as they're answering her, the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when, not if, when the Lord has given us the land, we will deal kindly and truly with thee. We will show you kindness, loving kindness and mercy when the Lord gives us the land. They don't say we will show you kindness when we come in to destroy the city. They say we will show you kindness when the Lord has given it to us. So two things here. They have confidence that it was going to happen, but they didn't have confidence in themselves. They had confidence in that's what God was going to do, because that's what he had told Joshua and Moses, and they were believing what God had told them to do. And so now they are going to escape in verse 16. She said to them, get you to the mountain, lest they, the pursuers, meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way. And the men said to her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. And so here they are escaping, and they are getting out of town. And when they do, in verse 18, behold, when we come to the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And so when we first read that, we hear the word thread. You know, our English minds, we start thinking of thread, needle, and thread. But then once you read it, it becomes obvious. You don't have to know Hebrew to understand that this is more than thread like we think of it, because if they let them down out of the window by this cord, it's certainly pretty sturdy there. And so here's this scarlet line, this cord, And this is going to be the token. Remember, she said, give us a token, some kind of sign that we will know. And so they said the token is going to be this scarlet cord that is here. And this scarlet thread runs all the way through Scripture, doesn't it? From the very moment when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and God provided covering for their sins, He's providing it for Rahab, the harlot. He's provided it for the spies and Joshua and for Moses and for you and me. And here's this sign, this scarlet cord that runs throughout the Scripture there. And so they're returning to Jordan, and they're returning with confidence as they go back over Jordan, and they're going back to Joshua there, beginning at verse 22. And they went, they came to the mountain, and they abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but they found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all the things that befell them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country, they do faint because of us. They know that we're coming, and somehow they know what God is doing, and they're afraid of us. And so they're going back, and they have a good report. We've got this. God is going to do this for us. So that's the story. So let's back up just a little bit, and let's look at Rahab. As we look at the rehab of Rahab, as I said, I think she was already saved whenever the spies come. And before she was saved, of course, she was defiled by sin. In verse 1, it says they came into a harlot's house. And so all of us are defiled by sin. Oh, we have different sins that we have committed, but everyone is defiled. The Bible clearly teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if we have or have not committed the sin of harlotry. All of our sin, in the eyes of God, is just as bad as any other sin, regardless of how we might like to classify it. But all sin causes us to be defiled. And not only are we defiled by sin, we as Rahab are dead in sin, spiritually dead. Well, she was living her life, and she was living it for gain, and no doubt was probably making a lot of money in her prior profession there, but she was really void of having real life. And that's the way it is before we get saved. We don't really have life. When Jesus comes, He gives us life, and He gives us life more abundant and free. And we see, lastly, that Rahab, like us, are doomed by sin. In John chapter 3, it says, he that believeth not is condemned already. And here in the city of Jericho, the death threat was near. Here's the city about to be destroyed, and it's not going to be long, and pretty soon people are going to be dead. And so the death threat is upon all men, for all have sinned, and there are people, even right now as I'm speaking, that are dying, doomed by sin, and entering into hell even as we speak. And it's a terrible thing. And so death is closer than we think. And it was to her as well. And so I believe, as I said, she's already saved. The men come in. She's no longer a harlot. God has saved her. And we see the salvation of a soul here in verse 9. Here's why I think she had already been saved. Verse 9, she said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Wonder how she knew that. How did she know that they were going to be defeated and Jericho was going to be destroyed? Well, in verse 10, she tells them how she knows. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea there. And so she comes and she speaks of Jehovah. Notice in your Bible, if you have King James, others may as well have Lord in all capital letters. And that is the name for Jehovah God. And Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And here she is with this confession that I know Aren't you glad we can know? We are know we're saved. And 1 John teaches that, that we don't have to just wonder and hope so and wait till we die and find out. Oh, Jesus came that we might have life more abundantly. And part of that is having the confidence that we're saved and we know it, not because of anything we've done, but because we trust his word, even as Rahab has done here. And notice her claim. She says, we have heard. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. And news obviously travels fast, faster today than it did back then. The Lord had dried up the waters of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt and how you destroyed the kings of the Amorites there. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So she heard it, and now she takes what she has heard and she translates that into faith. Romans 10:14, right after it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it goes on about four verses later, five verses, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so there's a need for people to tell what God has done. Just as she heard, and if, when she heard, she came to confess that I know what the Lord is going to do. But there was something that happened even before that in verse 11. And as soon as we had heard, that is before she knew, as soon as she heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man there. And here's the conviction that comes, the Holy Spirit's work. You and I can't make somebody's heart melt. We can't make someone get saved. She's going to go out later and try to get them and come into the house so they don't die, but we can't make people get saved. Our job is not the Holy Spirit's job. His job is to melt the heart. Our job is to make sure they hear. Faith comes by hearing. And so we need to go out and give the message of salvation so that people hear. And whenever they hear, then the Holy Spirit can work God's word in their hearts, and their hearts can melt, and they can come to know the Lord, as Rahab did. And now she's going to be a witness. That's what happens whenever God saves a soul. They begin to be a witness for her. So drop down to verse 19. As we jump around in this wonderful chapter, and it shall be, the men are telling her, that whosoever, there's a wonderful word, whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we shall be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any man hand be upon him. And so as they come to the woman, they are giving her this open-ended welcome that anyone can come into the house. And so she has the opportunity to go out into the city and bring anybody that would be willing to come into the house with her. Notice those two words in verse 19. And whosoever shall be with thee. Who do you want to take with you? And she wanted to take all of her family. She wanted everybody to be with her. And we need to want to take other people with us. Who will be with you? Is there somebody that you have taken by the hand, as this woman did after the Lord saved her from harlotry, and she's taken them into the house with her? It's a wonderful thing when we're able to take someone by the hand and show them the word of God so that they hear the gospel and then they know what God has done and what he can do, and they trust him even as Rahab trusted the Lord. It talks about being in the house in verse 19. And the wonderful picture that we have, because in the New Testament, we see that phrase over and over again, being in Christ. And whenever we are in Christ, it's like being in the house. We have that scarlet thread, the blood of Christ, and God knows that we're saved, and that's the sign, the blood of Christ there that saves us from sin. Even Noah and the ark is another picture that's very similar to being in the house here. As Noah took his family into the ark, All those that were in the ark were saved, but the others perished. And so it is here in Jericho. All of those who were in the house, those that she went and she witnessed to them and she begged them to come and be in the house, otherwise you're going to be destroyed. And those who believed and acted on what she said, they were saved as well. What a wonderful picture of salvation and the opportunity for us to welcome others to come. But not only is there an open-ended welcome, in verse 21, after they had told her what to do and go gather whoever you want to bring them into house, she said, in verse 21, according unto your words, so be it. That's what amen means. She says, amen. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. As soon as they left, she was obedient. And there's this obedient walk that she had. She knew that this scarlet cord was the only hope. It's the only hope for anyone. Whenever the spies left, it doesn't say that she went out into the city and said, let's lock all the gates. Let's escape out the back because people are coming in. She didn't give any other answer. But the answer she gave was that she put down the scarlet cord there. And here they're leaving. And verse 22 says, the pursuers sought after them throughout all the way, and they found them not. Where were they? They weren't in the house. Verse 22 says they were in the mountain. They came to the mountain and they hid there for 3 days. And you ever feel like there are pursuers after you? Whether it's other people or whether it's circumstances or the devil himself just seems to be pursuing you. Well, here they are. They're in the mountain. And there may be some evil things that try to pursue us. But whenever we're in the house, or whether we're in the ark, or whether we're in the mountain, when we're where God wants us to be and we're in His grace and He has shown His kindness to us, then no matter what may pursue us, it says they found them not. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And Jesus said, I have them in my hand, and no man is able to pluck them out of me. So don't be afraid of the pursuers there that may come after you. They go all the way back to Joshua in verses 23 and 24. And in verse 24, they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. And so they were excited. They had gone and they had talked to this woman and they had heard the talk that we know what God has done for you at the Red Sea. We know how God delivered the kings of the Amorites into your hand, and we know that God is with you. What a wonderful testimony. And they were encouraged and they went back there as they saw the witness of this woman. And now we move on to the honor of a harlot. She was pardoned. She's pardoned from her sin. The guilt of her sin was all gone. The sentencing of her guilty, sinful life, the sentence against her was gone. The consequences of what she had done were gone as far as eternity is viewed. And so here she's pardoned. And whenever the Lord pardons us, regardless of what sins we have committed, He takes away all the guilt from sin. He takes away the sentencing of sin, and He takes away the condemnation, because Jesus, He took all of that for us. The sentence was death, and He died in our place. And we have pardon because of the scarlet thread, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the entire world. We have pardon because of that. And this woman, who was once a harlot, is now pardoned from her sin. Aren't you glad it doesn't matter what you have done and how many times you've done it, that there's pardon through the blood of Christ? Well, we see not only was she pardoned, but also she was praised. She was raised to a position of honor. She became the great-great-grandmother of David. Here's David in the line of Christ coming through David. Remember the story of Ruth. It says in Ruth chapter 4, Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And so starting at the end of that verse, we know David, King David, a man after God's own heart. We know familiar with his father, Jesse, because whenever Samuel came and was looking for the one who was going to be the next king, he went through all the brothers, and Jesse said, I have another one, but he's the youngest, and he's out keeping the sheep there. And so we know him. And then backing up Obed there, it says he was the son of Boaz. And we remember that wonderful love story of Boaz and Ruth. And so how here's Ruth was a Moabite woman. And here's Rahab, who was a harlot. And so we see both of them being used of the Lord and being praised and put in a position of respect and honor. Only the Lord's grace and goodness could take someone that had that kind of life and give them honor. And then backing up, what about Salmon? Well, we know he's the father of Boaz. It tells us that in Ruth. But if we move over to Matthew and look at the genealogy of Christ, and Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab. Rahab there was the mother of Boaz, the one who married Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. He didn't have a pure ancestry, did he? Well, not from man's perspective, but when the Lord takes the scarlet thread, the blood of the Lord Jesus, and he cleanses us, and we see that though she was once wicked and vile and guilty, she's now guiltless, and there's no sentencing, and there's no condemnation, and she's even praised and raised to a position of honor. And then we see that she's promoted. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab, and of course this would be ex-harlot here, but to make sure we all understand which Rahab to which he's speaking, she perished not with them that believed not. Why didn't she perish with those who didn't believe? The ones who didn't believe, they didn't get inside the house. She believed and she got inside the house. And she took other people with her in the house. She received the spies with peace. And so even though the walls were being destroyed and many people were dying all around her, she still received with peace. And isn't it a wonderful thing, the peace that the Lord gives to us whenever we're in the house and we know him? Oh, it hurts when we have friends and loved ones who are lost and they're not believing and they won't come into the house, and we've invited them and we've given the gospel and we pleaded with them and we pray that the Holy Spirit would melt their hearts. The Lord still gives peace here. And she's promoted, as we see from this book to Hebrews, she's promoted from the house of shame to the hall of fame, because that's what Hebrews 11 is. All of Hebrews 11, we know how it talks about Abraham, the father of the Jews. Here's Rahab put on the same level as Abraham, not because of anything she had done, and Abraham wasn't at that level because of anything he had done. They had one thing in common, the scarlet cord there, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because even though they're Old Testament saints, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Christ. They look forward in faith to the Christ that would come. We look back to the cross of Christ, to the blood that was shed, and the Lord gives that promotion there to all those who have faith in him. So let's look at the conclusion here. God is still changing lives today. He changed the life of Rahab. She was defiled by sin, she was dead in sin, and she was doomed by sin. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so where our sin abounded, the grace of God was greater than that and takes us in to his house, a wonderful salvation that we have. So not only is God still changing lives today, the scarlet cord is still our token today. She wanted a token and a sign. How can I know that we're going to be delivered. And we know that we're going to be delivered not because of anything we have done, but we have a sign from God. In the Word of God, the Bible stands, as we sang tonight, and the Bible says that whenever we trust Christ and His completed work on Calvary and the shed blood that is there, we know, just as the spies went back with confidence, they knew they had the victory. And we know it as well because of the token that God has given to us. We also know that all who are in the house will be saved. That was the promise that was made. Anyone who's in the house, all those who were in the ark, all those who are in Christ, there's no one who's going to be lost that is in Christ. Once we are in Christ, we are saved forever. And Satan can't break down the door and drag us out. We are in Christ. And lastly, we see that the fields are white unto harvest. Even as the fields were whiter to harvest in the time of Jericho with all the wickedness going on there were many people that had opportunity to come into the house. And here was a woman that was changed by the grace of God, and she was doing all she could to go and get them in before doomsday came. And doomsday is coming to those without Christ who are outside the house, and the fields are white unto harvest. And God wants us to be doing like Rahab did and going and begging and pleading and doing all that we can to bring them into the house so they can know that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ pardons from sin and cleanses us and gives us a brand new life. Maybe even a new job like he did Rahab. He changes. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. It became new for Rahab, didn't it? Her sins were gone, and she had peace, something she never had when she was living the life of a harlot. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Thank you for the peace that comes our way when we're in the house. We're safely there because of your watch care, because of your loving kindness, your chesed to us. And Father, we thank you for the story of this woman who was saved by your grace. And we thank you that the grace that saved her many, many years ago is still available. And the blood that was represented by the scarlet thread, the power of the blood, has not been diminished one bit. There's still power in the blood to save souls from sin. Thank you for that. Help us to be faithful witnesses to bring others into the house. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.